Thanks for tuning in to Next Level Church Podcast. For more information, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Y'all be patient. I'm the old one, but somebody forgot my table. Can somebody? Okay, I'll let y'all help me out. Okay, happy costume day. How y'all doing? Now,
all right, let's be honest. There is no way that I can wear that this entire time. And I'm delaying because I literally am waiting for my table. So, all right. So as they are waiting, I want to, oh, I hear it coming. Somebody. It's just awkward for a second, a few seconds.
Sorry.
All right. So I'm adding myself 2 minutes to preach because I'm just giving it. All right. Hey, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of James or open your Bible app to James chapter 5, verse 16. We'll get there in just a few moments, but I want to begin by asking for you to imagine for a second that you are a parent with very young children. Now, some of you, you do not have to imagine because you are living that right now, or maybe you have been there a long time ago, but maybe you are a person that does not have any kids. That's okay. Just imagine that you're a parent and you've just finished reading a book to your kids and maybe singing a song. You've tucked them into bed and now you close the door and you go to retreat to a few moments of just relaxing to yourself. You sit down and then you hear this, "Dad! Mom, I'm scared." And so you, as the good parent that you are, you rush into there and you're like, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" They're like, "I'm scared of the dark." And so, being the prepared parent that you are, you go to the junk drawer that has all the things that you don't know where to put, and you rumble through it and you grab a nightlight and you go in there and you help your kids out. Now, as a parent, I have had that experience many times when my girls were younger. And according to Healthline, this is pretty common. Read this. It says, being afraid of the dark often starts in childhood and is viewed as a normal part of development. Studies focused on this phobia have shown that humans often fear the dark for its lack of visual stimuli. In other words, people may fear night and darkness because they cannot see what's around them. It's the unknown. And you know, for some people, that fear doesn't just dissipate in childhood. It continues on, and it can become actually debilitating. And I love during this season to read about all these weird phobias. But one that actually many people have is nyctophobia, an extreme fear of night or darkness that can cause intense symptoms of anxiety and depression. So darkness and fear seem to go hand in hand, which is one of the reasons that when we encounter darkness in Scripture, it always has a negative connotation. And consider some verses. 1 John 1:5 says this, "God is," what? "Light. There is no darkness in him at all." So everything about God's character and who he is described as light. There's not even a hint of darkness in him. And also later in Colossians, it says this about when we step into a relationship with Jesus. It says, "For he has rescued us from," where? "The kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son." So we're taken out of darkness and we're placed into the kingdom of his son, which is the kingdom of light. And here's what's really interesting. Never in my life have I ever had my kids run up to me in the middle of the day and say, "Dad, I'm scared of the light." Like, it's never happened. I mean, it never, ever. The only time that they became afraid of the light is when they became teenagers. And it was time to wake them up, and they were like, the light! You know, it's like, it was ironic that one of my daughters dressed as a vampire, just saying, she was just living it out. So, but you know, it got me wondering, is there actually a fear for light? You know, like, is that a real fear? No, there's a word for it. It's called photophobia. No, it's not what my wife Erica has, where when I ask her to take a selfie, she's like, no, it's not that. Photophobia, but this is what's really interesting. It's not really a fear. Photophobia, rather, is a name for what we call light sensitivity. So there's not actually a fear of light. It's just that we get sensitive to the light. Have you ever been in a really dark place? Somebody flips on the light and you're like, ah, right? Like, so we understand that. And today's message is about this contrast between dark and light. And the truth is that all of us in some point of our lives have experienced darkness. And maybe you're still in that darkness. And then when we step into the light and we come near the light, sometimes there's a sensitivity. And it's not something that we really are afraid of. It's just that we're not used to it. And today's message is going to be an encouragement for us to step into the light. That's the reason the big idea is this. If you're taking notes, I'd love for you to write it down. Don't let fear keep you in the dark. Find healing in the light. Don't let fear keep you in the dark. Find healing in the light. And our scripture is really going to help us to explore that. But did you know there's actually natural benefits to physical life? Check this out. Exposure to natural light helps our bodies produce vitamin D. It improves our circadian rhythms and sleep patterns, helps us to focus, enables us to get more done, even makes us happier. Ensuring that we have enough of this vital resource is key to our physical and psychological well-being. And as we're going to see, it's actually key to our spiritual health. That stepping into the light is something that is very necessary. And this message is going to get really practical. And the verse we're going to read today, I think when we hear it, we naturally want to resist what it's calling us to. And I'm going to give you the reasons why I think instead of resisting it, we should actually embrace it. And we're going to read together James 5:16. If you would you stand with me? We're going to all read this verse together. We're going to read it out loud. And then we get to the reference, James 5. You see two dots. We're going to pump our fist, go dot, dot, 16. All right, here we go. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. James 5, dot, dot, 16. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we are grateful for your word. We pray that it would be a light to our path, that you would shine into the dark place of our life. Help us, instead of resisting your word, to lean into it and to know that it's true and that you give us these calls because you want for us to experience healing in the areas that are still in darkness. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If you would, you can go ahead and have a seat. So James is a very practical practical book. If you're ever looking for a New Testament book that has a lot of practical advice, James is a great example. It's most like the wisdom literature from the Old Testament, such as Proverbs. You know, the thing I love about Proverbs is you can read it and then you see how it makes a connection to your everyday life, and that's very much who James is. And James is giving practical advice in this moment on how do we navigate through the ups and downs of life. How do we navigate through the dark and the light experiences that we have? And so what he does is he says, okay, if this is what you're experiencing, this is how you should respond. All right, so let's back up just a few verses and I'm going to show you how he does this. James 5, starting in verse 13, he says, is anyone among you, what's it say? In trouble. Okay, now he doesn't define what the trouble is. Trouble can look a lot of different ways in our lives. You can fill in the blank, but this is a bad experience. It's trouble. It's something that's weighing in on you. And he says, okay, if this is what you're experiencing, do this. He says, let them pray. Like, call out to God. Ask God to help you in your trouble. Well, then he says, is anyone amongst you happy? Okay, if that's your experience, this is how you should respond. Let them sing songs of praise. Then he gives a third example. Is anyone amongst you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. So he says, you know, here's this practical thing. If you're experiencing any of these things, this is how you should respond. Whether it's good or bad, there's a proper response to it. And then in verse 15, he says, if you actually do these things, it results in this. And he says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Now, sometimes people misunderstand this verse or they misapply it. This does not mean that every time someone's sick that it's directly related to sin in their life. There's a lot of sickness that comes through no choice or anything that we've done on our own. But James does make a point. He says there may be some sickness, some things that happen in your life that are related to sin. But notice what he says. He says that if we call out to God in prayer, we will be what? Forgiven. Now, here's the good news. This is the great news that everybody needs to hear, is there is absolutely nothing in your life that God will not forgive you for if you call out to him in faith. I know sometimes we think, man, there's maybe God couldn't forgive me for this. There's some of you that at one time when you walked in, you say, if I walk into a church building, it's going to fall in. Well, thankfully, it has not happened up to this point. And I just want to remind you of what James says. He wants to say that God is the God of forgiveness. God wants us to come to him and offer forgiveness. But then James is going to now get, we're now at the verse that we read at the beginning. James is going to show us something. That he says, okay, let me set the stage. We call out to God, we get forgiveness. But now James gives us another step. Look at verse 16. He says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be, what's the word? Healed. Now, some of you, as soon as you heard this verse, you're like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to confess. I'm not going to do that. Because there's a lot of things in your mind. You imagine, you're like, okay, does that mean I like need to come up and get on stage and be like, all right, I am now going to recount the sins that I have committed this week. And some of you are like, I got way too much time. We don't have enough time for all that, okay? But no, there's a for real, there is a fear that when you hear this verse, there's a lot of questions that come to your mind. It's like, do I confess everything, every wrongdoing that I've done? Who do I tell? And then there's a lot of fears that come into it. Now, I hope by the end of this message that I'll answer many of those questions that are coming to your mind when you read this verse. But I just want you to focus for a moment and see what James is saying. That if you follow this pathway, if you follow this, it's going to lead you to a place of healing. Did you know it's possible for you to be forgiven by God and have his forgiveness, but not experience the full healing that God wants to bring to you? It's kind of like knowing that you've done things in your life that God has forgiven you for, but for whatever reason, it's like you're carrying around this wound over that thing, and God wants to bring healing to you. And so this message is about not only receiving God's forgiveness, but also how confession and community can bring healing. But here's a question. Why is it, if this is true, that stepping into the light can bring healing, why is it that we choose to stay in the dark? Why is it that we don't want to step into the light? And I think there's some reasons. I want to share at least three with you, okay? If you're taking notes, write this down. Here's the first reason why we stay in the dark. It's because of shame. Shame says, because of what I've done, I'm unworthy of love and belonging. Shame has this way of believing that God will accept everyone else, but he won't accept me. Shame says, I don't want other people to know my own brokenness. I don't want people to know the things I really struggle with. Not just, sometimes our shame is about things that have been in the past, and then sometimes our shame is about things that are very much in the present. I've shared this before, but it's worth saying. I spent a long part of my life as a teenager and even going into my early adulthood with an addiction to pornography. And the reason I did not get help for so long is because I was ashamed. And I didn't want people to know because I truly loved Jesus, but then I had this thing in my life that was incongruent with it, and I didn't want anybody to know because I felt ashamed. I said, man, what will people actually think if they know what I'm really struggling with? And God, can you really love me when I still have this happening in my life? Can I tell you, shame is not something that God gives us. God isn't in the shame game. That's the enemy. That's what he wants to do. See, the enemy tricks us. He tempts us to do things that are against God's character. He tells us, if you do this, it's going to be great. But then after we do it, he gives us the second part of his plan, is he begins to kick us with shame. And he says, if people really knew what was going on in your life, they would reject you. God really can't love you. So he starts speaking all these lies. And so shame keeps us from stepping into the light. The second reason is this: pride. Pride says, I can handle this on my own. I can get past this on my own. I don't need to let anybody know I've got this. Or on the other hand, there's another side of pride that we actually kind of ignore our own brokenness, and we're so zoomed in on everybody else's brokenness that we're worried about them and not about ourselves. But the truth is, here's something. I know something about each of us that are here today, that the scripture is true, that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means that every one of us have done things that are wrong. And if we were all to actually be honest and recount our sins, we'd realize how much we have in common. There's not a person that you encounter that has not experienced this brokenness within their lives. And so our pride should actually die, because we realize that all of us have not lived up to what God's called us to. But sometimes our pride makes us just look down on other people and ignore our own shortcomings, or our pride actually keeps us from stepping into relationship with other people and stepping into the light. And the third thing is just plain out just fear. It's like the fear of the unknown. How will people respond if I'm honest about my struggles? How will people respond if I actually tell them the truth and the reality of what I'm dealing with? What will they think about me? What will happen? I wonder if maybe one of those reasons is the reason you've been staying in the dark, that you start to move toward the light and you have this light sensitivity and you're like, maybe I just need to stay in the dark. But in the dark there's no healing in the dark. There's no joy in the dark. The darkness is the place that the enemy wants us to stay while God's calling us into the light. I want to give you an example of this. There's a guy named David in the scripture, and I'll be honest, if you follow his life, I've often wondered, he's called a man after God's own heart, but if you track the life of David, he sinned pretty horrendously. I mean, you look, he had committed adultery, and then he had a man killed to try and cover it up, and on and on and on. I mean, that's not the only shortcomings that David had. He had multiple wives and all kinds of crazy stuff like this. And you look and say, why was he called a man after God's own heart? It wasn't because he was perfect. It was because ultimately he knew that he had to turn back to God. That was the only place that he found life. But there was a moment when he had gotten trapped in the darkness, where he had gotten trapped in his own shortcomings. And then he's reflecting on this in Psalm 32. And this is what we read. Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. He says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. See, David is talking about his experience. He says, as long as I held on to this stuff, it actually physically affected me. And do you know that that's true? That even our sins and the things that we keep, the dark parts of us that we hold on to, it can affect us physically. I think that even goes back to part of what James is getting to about healing. That as long as we're in the darkness, it's like it saps our energy. And he says the Lord's hand was heavy on him. And now hear this. When we have those experiences where all of a sudden it's like we know that we've done something wrong, and we sense that God is just pressing in on us, he's doing that not to condemn us, but he's doing that to draw us out of the darkness into the light. So when God gives us conviction, when his hand is heavy upon us, it is not a hand of condemnation. It is a hand of welcome that says, please come into the light and receive forgiveness, receive joy, receive healing. So it's actually the grace of God. And notice, eventually David comes to his senses. Verse 5. He says, then I, what's it say? Acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. Now, here's the thing. God's not surprised by your sin or my sin. He knows everything about us. He knows it's there. But David came to the point where he actually agreed with God and says, okay, I acknowledge this before you. And he confesses it. He says, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Now, I want you to, please don't mishear me. This message is not about you have to go confess to a person in order to receive forgiveness. The only mediator, the only person that we have to go to receive forgiveness is Jesus Christ. We come to him and say, please forgive me. And guess what he does? He forgives you. That's it. You don't have to go to another person. But what we're talking about is the next step of how do we actually move into healing. I love what Proverbs 28:13 says. Whoever conceals their sin does not, what? Prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. See, it's about this, what the word repentance. The word repentance is a change of heart. It's a turning around. It's a going in a new direction. And we start by turning to God. We confess them to him. But then, as James is pointing us to, part of our stepping into the light and finding healing is then confessing that to other people. It's the reason our big idea is don't let fear keep you in the dark. Find healing in the light. So if we actually want to experience the healing that God has for us, it means we're going to have to make some steps. We're going to have to do something that probably is going to make us uncomfortable. Let's come back to our key verse. James 5:16. Therefore, what's the first thing? Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So here's the pathway that he gives us. Confession, prayer, healing. And here's the interesting thing. If at any point we choose not to do this, if we choose not to confess, guess what we're not going to get to? Healing. And then together we have this prayer, and then it leads to God healing us. Now, what's really interesting is when it says, so that you may be here, this is where my Southern background will help you. We don't always see this, but the you there would be, a great way to translate that would be y'all, okay? Because it's actually a plural word. So let's read it with that in mind. Therefore, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that y'all can be healed. You're getting it. Because Here's what happens. Here's the reality is sometimes we think that our sin, our shortcoming only affects us. But often it affects other people. Sometimes the things that we do don't just hurt us, they hurt others. And so sometimes the healing that we need is not just for us, but it's to help other people around us. And so I want to answer two critical questions. The first is this: how do I know what I should confess? And I want to share with you four things you should confess to others. Now, I don't believe what James is saying is that you have to confess every sin that you have all the time. But I think these next thoughts will help you to know when it might be time for you not just to confess it to God, but to confess it to someone else. Okay? So here we go. Number one, confess anything that's weighing heavy on your mind. Is there something in your life that when you get ready to go to sleep, it's what's on your mind? When you wake up, it's on your mind. It's like it's heavy. It's like it's weighing on you. I think this is part of the experience of what David was having. He was like, it almost sapped his strength. So I think a great candidate is if there is something happening in your life or something from the past, or it's something that's in the present, some sin, some darkness there, that is a prime candidate for you to reach out to someone and say, I need to confess this. Here's the second thing. Confess anything that's hindering you from pursuing God. Now, let's be clear about something. All sin ultimately hinders us from God, okay? But we can have some things that hold us back so much that we begin to believe, like, we don't even want to come into the presence of God because we're like, God, I'm just not worthy to do that. Or our sin, it holds us back. So instead of actually pursuing the right things, that we are so bound up in the wrong things that it keeps us from doing the very things God's called us to. It keeps us away from gathering in biblical community. It keeps us from worshiping God. And if you find that there's something in your life that's just hindering your pursuit from God, that is something not only to confess to God, but to confess to someone else. Number three, confess anything that's hurting your relationship with others. Now, this gets really tough. Because sometimes we have dark things in our life that we're keeping from the people that are closest to us. But it's those things in the darkness that are actually harming our relationships with those people. So one time I was counseling with a couple, and we had met once, and this is the second time we were meeting. And I just had this feeling this whole time of like, man, there's just something else here. It just felt like we were spinning our wheels. It just didn't feel like we were moving anywhere. I was like, God, there's something here. What is it? Can you just help break through? And in the middle of this counseling session, one of them just said, "I can't take it anymore." And then they just confess something that their spouse did not know had been going on. Now, here's the good news. Was that a hard moment? See, some of us are thinking, I don't want to share this with this person because it may hurt them more. Can I tell you, actually, the secrecy and staying in the darkness is ultimately where the hurt is. And healing only comes whenever we step into the light. And for that couple, they did not start moving toward healing until they got honest and said, hey, here's what's been hiding in the dark and I need to let you know. Now, is that going to be painful? Absolutely. And some of you know this is you. Like right now, you know, like, this is the thing I need to confess to this person in my life. And you're afraid. God's calling you to step out into the light. Or maybe we need to confess to someone that we've hurt. Maybe it's not a spouse. Maybe it's just someone else that we know we've sinned against them in our attitude, in our heart, or in some way. And what James is calling us to do is actually come to them and confess and say, please forgive me for fill in the blank. And the last thing I would say is that we confess anything that's become habitual. Is there something that started being in your life? It's not just a one-time thing or a two-time thing, but it started to be something that's just showing up all the time. Is there a habit that you just can't seem to get past? Something that's hindering you from God, hurting your relationships with others? So if those are the kind of things that we should confess, the question is, who should we confess to? Like, who do we do this to? Is what James saying is you need to come up here and grab a microphone and just like, oh, you know, and tell everybody, let me recount my sins over the life. No. I don't think that's what James is after. I believe there are at least two people that you confess to, and sometimes it needs to be both of them. First, we confess to someone who can actually help you. Someone that can actually help you, okay? So for instance, if you today are, you may have friends in your life, but they're not people that are pursuing God with their life. That's probably not the person to confess it to. Why? Because they're not actually going to point you back to God. They're not going to remind you of God's grace. They're not going to point you to the gospel. Instead, we should turn to someone that James says is a righteous person. What does James mean by a righteous person? He doesn't mean somebody that has it all together, because we've already admitted all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Any person that you confess to is a sinner just like you that has their own struggles. But a righteous person is someone that is trying to pursue Christ. They're trying to pursue Him. It's someone that has faith, someone that understands the good news, because that person can actually help you. And also, in particular, maybe there are people that are following after Jesus that they have seen freedom and victory over something that you're presently struggling with. Okay, so You know, I mentioned this, two things. You know, I've been very open. The reason I've been open about how long my struggle with pornography was is I wanted people to know that God had brought me, he had brought me freedom out of that, so that maybe there were people who were still hiding in the dark about that would come and say, hey, you know what you were talking about? Yeah, I'm there. And then I can look and say, here's hope, here's freedom. You know, a part of my story, some of you guys know, is after I was married for 14 years and then went through divorce. And there's just so much to that story that was so difficult. And I remember feeling so much shame, feeling like, God, how did this happen in my life? And I remember the first time that I got a call from someone, another guy that was going through the same thing, and he said, I just need somebody to talk to. And in that moment, I knew that God, I had seen how God brought me out of this darkness into his light. In that moment, I could step in and I could be a voice to them. And some of you, God has given you freedom out of things, and you need to actually start proclaiming about the freedom he's given you so that people will know that they can come and talk to you and experience that help and healing. Because we should celebrate the darkness, we should celebrate how God's brought us out of that darkness into light. So who can help you? The second person you should confess to, I think, is confess to someone that you've hurt. Some of you just need to look at another person and say, hey, this has been going on in my life and I'm sorry. This is hurting not only me, but it's hurting our relationship. I gotta confess it to you. The reason I say that sometimes you need both of them, especially if it's someone you're hurt, often the person that you've hurt is not the person that's going to be able to help you. And so you need both of them. And sometimes before you even confess to the person that you've hurt, you confess it to someone who will help you, and that person will say, you need to do the right thing and you need to confess it, but I'll be there with you. I'll walk with you through that moment. Now, I realized something. I realized that what we're talking about is a heaviness. It's not easy to talk about the broken parts of our life, but can I tell you that you will not experience freedom until you choose to step out of the darkness and step into the light where God's healing light can come on the darkest parts of your life. And that's the reason our win is this. The win, what do we do with this? First, make the choice that you're going to step out of the dark. God, it doesn't matter. I've been in this darkness for so long, but I am not going to stay in it anymore. I'm not going to let fear, I'm not going to let shame, I'm not going to let pride hold me back. Instead, I'm going to believe what you said, and I'm going to step into your light and not only receive your forgiveness, but also receive healing. And that's the reason we begin with one, confessing it to God. That's where you have to start. If you never had that moment where you just come to God and say, God, my relationship is broken with you, and I need you, that's where you have to start. You have to get things right vertically before things can get right horizontally with other people. And then after you've come to God, would you then confess to someone who can help you? I wonder what would happen. I wonder if maybe, just maybe, we would experience healing from those things that have burdened us for so long. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you for these moments we've been able to share together. God, if people experience the conviction, they sense your hand pressing on them, God, I pray that they would see that as your grace. That God, that you confront us with the broken and dark parts of our lives so that we can experience healing, so that we can experience freedom. You have come to set the captives free. And so, God, I pray that people today will make the choice. They're going to step out of the dark, step into the light, confess it to you, and then they will turn to someone who loves you, someone that is pursuing you, and they will confess it. And together, through prayer, that you will demonstrate and give them healing in all the places that have been dark. God, we love you. Thank you. I pray that you give us the strength to be obedient to everything you're calling us to. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.